Hey everybody, you're watching and listening to the We Are Rising podcast. This is your host, Andrew Benjamin. And I was just about to throw it to my coach, Jay Christian Gary, who's, okay, now he's back. And now with my host, Jay Christian Gary, from Focus Fights, the newly revamped, back from the dead, Focus Fights.
Yeah, we can only say newly revamped and back from the dead, but hopefully we can get our stuff together and try and be at least attempt at what Bloody Elbow and My MMA News are to these days. But still, though, enough chit chat. We're here to talk about Bloodsport 9. That event will be happening from the Ukrainian Cultural Center in Los Angeles, California, as part of the collective, March 31st at 7 East, well, actually at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, live on Fight TV Plus. And the man we're about to talk to, he's going to have a match against his fellow New Japan Dojo Young Lion, that being Yuya Uemura. If you know him, you probably don't need me mentioning his stats and info and all that. So I'm going to just go ahead and get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the Android, Alex Copeland. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much, Chris, for that introduction. I'm doing fantastic. Again, like I mentioned right before we went on, this is my third time doing the podcast. Second with you present, of course, but third time with Andrew. Thanks for having me back. Very excited about this one. And, of course, Bloodsport 9 is going to be one you're not going to want to miss. I know he mentioned the match with you. Yeah, it's not our first time wrestling. And, every time we touch, it gets better and better. So that's going to be a show.
I was actually going to ask about that. So to prepare for this, I watched your two previous matches. You had one as Young Lions, which you won, and then you had one at Warrior Wrestling, which you won as well. And that was the one with the clip that went viral. I think it was where you suplexed him from a sitting position. I apologize. I forget how exactly it happened, but you kind of just picked him up from the ground and just dumped him.
That's my specialty, baby.
And now the third match in Bloodsport. And so, yeah, so obviously not, you two are very familiar with each other, but what do you think about kind of just like this, it's kind of like this arc. First you had a match as Young Lions, then you had a match when, was he still a Young Lion technically when you had the second match, or were...
It's the strange purgatory in between being graduated and kind of not being graduated. It's like he kind of finished, but he wasn't exactly back. More of his excursion period, I would call it. So, not necessarily a Young Lion, I would say, but, I believe it's Britney Spears. I'm not a girl, not yet a woman. It's kind of that, but Young Lion instead.
And now you're having a match where he's definitely not a Young Lion anymore, and that facial hair should be a big giveaway that he is definitely not a Young Lion anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's now two fully developed wrestlers going at each other. What do you think about facing him at this stage of his career?
Well, there's a couple ways you can look at it, because you said first as a Young Lion, then we wrestled at Warrior Wrestling, and now the third time. In between the Young Lion and Warrior Wrestling, he wound up joining the LA Dojo. I wound up living with him for 2-3 years. He's still in Los Angeles. He's loving it. So not just that one match between, everything we've done, but we've trained, we've fought, we've done everything together. I lived with him. So the story isn't just told from one match. We started together. I would be LA Dojo versus Noge Dojo. The two countries, Young Lions collide, and then fast forward to America. There's a lot of history there. I mean, I consider him a very close friend. And at the end of the day, a match is a match. We know each other very well. He's my brother, but, you look at the stats. You said it yourself, the Young Lion match, it was 2019, our first time meeting. I kicked his ass. He came to the LA Dojo. He wrestled Warrior Wrestling. I learned everything about him. I mean, we knew each other pretty well. That was after 2 years of living together. What happened again? I kicked his ass. I don't expect the third time to be any different, whether from a pro wrestling setting, strict, or a blood sport setting. You got to look at the numbers, man. Go with what you know. I feel like I'm a strong bet going in there. As strong as he is, I did move back to Long Island a few months ago, so who knows what he's been up to in the meantime. But I don't know, man. I feel like I've got his number. Always have, and I always will.
You feel now, easier? Oh, sorry, Chris. Go ahead. Sorry, Chris.
Now, come to think of it, considering the fact that you I guess, are so familiar with facing him, and obviously this will be your third time in the last year or so that y'all have faced off against each other. Wouldn't y'all say that, let's just say, in about a year from now, when y'all will probably be competing on the New Japan main roster together, wouldn't y'all be connected at the hip or something?
Who knows what the future holds, man. Again, there's a... We train together. We live together, but same with Clark, same with Gabe, same with DK, same with Jet. Sometimes we're together. Sometimes we're off doing our own things. You know, despite, you know, how many people you went to high school with are you still best friends with, you know? You know, we went through shit together, but we're all off doing our own things. Some I keep in contact with, some, you know, they're off doing their own thing. Maybe you'll be like that, but I won't say no to teaming with him. We're kicking his ass over in Japan. Either or, I'm cool with it.
Understood. And come to think of it, you mentioned the other LA Dojo Young Lions, namely Kevin Knight and Dylan Kyle Cox, a.k.a. the DKC, the former MMA fighter. But when it comes down to those two in particular, especially Kevin Knight, you see them basically wrestling all over the damn place, especially Kevin, who I think wrestled on, like, this hip-hop show called Battle Slam.
That's right. Yeah, he did.
But when you think about these guys getting these opportunities, I mean, what say you? I mean, wouldn't you be better off with some of those opportunities that they're getting?
Honestly, based how we're all spread out, where we all come from different parts of the country, and we're all, I guess, based back in different parts of the country. For a while, we were all in L.A. I'm back in New York. Yeah, Kevin's from Atlanta, but he goes back and forth from L.A. And we all spread out, you know, like the Dragon Balls. After you make a wish, they all spread out and they all do their own thing. They all end up in different places. His opportunities, I'm very happy that he's got them. Kevin's money. DK, you put him in front of anybody, they're going to love him. I'm very happy that they're getting those opportunities. I got some stuff lined up this past weekend. I made my proper main GCW debut. I wrestled in the past four or five blood sports, but I was down in New Jersey, Atlantic City, wrestled Jordan Oliver, the JCW championship. And he's awesome. I had a, you know, it was a hard fart. I didn't win, but it was a fantastic time, you know, and I have more opportunities coming up. I'm wrestling this weekend in Minnesota for Iron Heart Wrestling. The end of the month, I'm wrestling Beyond the 26th in Worcester. Beyond that place they're always at, the Eagle, the White Eagle.
The White Eagle Hall, I think, in Lincoln, Rhode Island or something.
Oh, one of the places that they're going to be at is, yeah, March 36th, 26th, excuse me. and Bloodsport, of course, 30th, the end of the month, Ukrainian Culture Center in L.A., which I considered my home away from home turf. So, yeah, that's also UU's too. So, you know, very excited for everything coming up.
And, I mean, come to think of it, I mean, let's just face facts. That card, that Bloodsport 9 card, is going to be taking place in front of a sold-out audience, mostly to see the main event, which is going to be Speedball Mike Bailey versus Kota Ibushi. I mean, when you think about that particular type of crowd, the fact that you're going to be wrestling in front of a sold-out crowd, you don't even know if you're going to be the opening act or the co-main or what have you. You just know that you got to impress a lot of people who paid good money to see some great action. What do you hope that the fans will come to expect from such a violent, carnage-filled event like Bloodsport?
I don't give a shit what they're going to expect, because we're going to give it to them no matter what. I've wrestled on all those cards, and I've always given it my all. Hey, yeah, Bloodsport 7 was at the Ukrainian Culture Center. Go back and watch that. That's available on Fight TV. That's available on Select Fights featuring New Japan superstars, or on New Japan World to watch. If you want to watch me versus Tom Lawler, you see how the crowd gets into it. I've wrestled in the Ukrainian Culture Center before for Bloodsport. We kill it every time. I ain't worried about that.
Well, shit, that disqualifies me from asking any more about that. Andrew, you got anything else to say?
Well, yes, I'm going back to what you said about, you know, You've trained with Yuya, you've wrestled against him, you've lived with him. Is it easier to have to face off against somebody who you know very well versus someone who shall, I guess I'll say, you don't know well or have ill feelings toward you, like a JR Kratos?
It's a double-edged sword because in some ways it is easier, and in other ways it's a lot harder because you go in there with someone you've never faced before, someone you don't like. You don't show them everything. You wrestle them one day at a time, and you slowly show them your bag of tricks over time. But somebody like Yuya, who I've lived with and I've trained with, we know each other inside and out. I know all his stuff, but on the opposite end of the coin, he knows all mine. So we'll see who can get the better of each other.
And speaking of JR Kratos, congratulations on the win on Battle of the Valley, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
So going into this match, as everybody knows, Bloodsport is not typical pro wrestling rules, no pins, no countouts, no ropes.
No ropes.
What
Yep.
do you see? What do you see as your advantage going in terms of the Bloodsport style? Do you think that you're gonna have the striking? Or possibly the submission advantage that we something that we haven't really seen a lot from you, maybe until this show.
Yeah, buddy, you say that. I have not had much of an opportunity recently because I've been dealing with big ass dudes like JR Kratos, where it's a little harder to show my submission game. But I relish these opportunities with guys like Yuya, with guys like Jordan Oliver, who I just wrestled, where I can really show that out. And I'm always practicing it. I mean, I'm a big strong fucker. I can throw people around. It's after 3 minutes, we're good.
Yes.
As far as wrestling goes, Yuya wrestled in college. He's a strong, strong wrestler. But, we're not doing pins here. So it's all about finishing. It's all about submissions. It's all about being hard hitting. And I have all those check boxes marked. And again, you look at the stats, last two matches, it was all about me. So, and that was a submission the first, pinfall in the second. So no matter how you
Okay.
edge it out.
Thank you for correcting me. So there, yes, it was a submission. I believe Boston Crab. I
Yes.
think yes.
It was a
So,
Young Lions match. It was a Boston Crab for sure.
what would you want? Is it almost kind? Would you kind of want to do a Boston Crab to him in this match, or is it just like, listen, I know it's a competition between you two, but it's kind of like an extra fuck you almost, you know?
Yeah, it
Is
is.
that, would that be the ideal submission for you? Or is that kind of like, oh no, you're more mature than that. You'd rather just, arm bar, heel hook, or something like that.
I know it's hard because in one regard, I'm like what you said. I've been doing the fucking Boston Crab for 4 or 5 years. Maybe it's time for me to move on. But I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years. I know how to do it, and I'm good at it. And it would be a little extra cherry on top, especially with Yuya. So I won't say much more than that. So who knows? Maybe I'll get a crab. Maybe not.
And actually, speaking about New Japan as well, I gotta ask, how is it you were part of the World Tag League with Gabriel Kidd? I know that the audiences started cheering kind of a little bit more at the time, but now it's now back to full cheering. I want to know, like, how did it feel to be back in Japan after such a long time? We're both, in that atmosphere.
Well, it was a very long time since the last time I was in Japan. It was like 2.5 years. It's like January 2020, all the way up until November 2022. A long time since I've been in Japan. And like you said, there are some restrictions. Some places you're allowed to cheer, some places no cheering, some you could cheer with half capacity. So it was a very mixed bag, but the crowds were always into it and they were always lively. And it was always a special treat to be in front of the ones that can make the noise because there's just nothing like it. Now it's very exciting that we are allowed to have full capacity and cheering again, finally. And it's going to be a massive upswing. And I just can't wait to get back there. And I hope I do soon. But it was a fantastic tour.
And I mean, come to think of it, Alex, it's basically a stark contrast as it was for the last 2 or 3 years since this whole pandemic thing. I mean, we're coming up on 3 years since the whole pandemic began. But still, though, when it came down to the differences for the New Japan of America, now New Japan Strong shows, and the regular New Japan shows, especially in the last year and a half up until the announcement that they were to bring full cheering back to New Japan, it was a stark contrast, especially given that the New Japan of America shows would have cheering and full-blown crowds, while the New Japan shows, the regular shows, would just have basic golf claps, applause, and just basically banging on like the ground or the turnstiles or something.
Whatever those things are, I forgot what those. It was like clappers almost. I don't know what the.
Yeah, they got those
It's
noise sticks like you see them at
like
sporting
little,
events like baseball games. Yeah.
like thunder sticks or placards, so to speak.
So yeah, it's not quite the same. And but I had a tremendous it sucked not being able to go to Japan, but we also had a lot of empathy for the people going out there and wrestling in front of these crowds that couldn't make any noise. And the crowds, because they couldn't make any noise themselves. It was just a shitty situation. But there have been shitty periods before. And we had the whole period with New Japan Strong. That's how it came about. We couldn't go to Japan, so to give us something to do, they started running shows in America consistently. But they were without the crowds. We were in Port Hueneme, and we would just wrestle there for like a year and a half, 2 years, just going up there once a month and filming a couple shows in front of nobody. And like that wasn't—I mean, it was great. It's just not the same as being in front of a live crowd. I look back at those times very fondly now. But I remember just being excited to finally get to the part where people could come back, more or less. So having, going through that,
We
it
have
took
a
much longer for Japan to get the crowd noise back than it did for you.
we do have a submitted question. This is from Kuni Saito, who runs the Japanese pro wrestling podcast, Pro Wrestling Things, and he wants to
Cool.
know when you are coming back to Japan.
I hope as soon as possible. I don't have anything concrete. So in the meantime, if you want to book me, hey, I'm in America. So I hope sooner rather than later. But we'll see. Maybe something will come about soon.
And actually, speaking of 2023 New Japan, unfortunately, Carl Fredericks left, and now it's just kind of you and Clark that are still like you're the first New Japan American dojo graduates, and with Carl that seemingly who looked like he was kind of like this, I guess the standout or was like the one that was going to stand out. Do you see has that shifted more towards you? And do you feel like now with him gone, Clark being a junior, I have to represent, is there more pressure on yourself to represent yourself at in the heavyweight division as the first New Japan American dojo graduate?
I wouldn't say it's shifted or changed since Carl left. By the way, Eddie Thorpe's killing it. Check him out. NXT Level Up. Man, happy for him, but at the same time, I miss him, of course. But nothing changed for me mentally when he left, except that I'm missing my friend. But I always thought I was going to be representing the LA Dojo in the heavyweight division. Either Carl thought he would, we all thought we were the number one guys, and that's why we're all here, and we all, still do. That's what we want to do, so that's how we have to think, and that's how we train, and that's how we act. So in that regard, I always put that pressure on me, so it's not new. And wasn't and I'm glad I had people like Carl and Clark there. It's good to I it, well, yeah, there are no schlumps here. Nobody that's just, dogging it. Everybody's on their A game, and we all push each other. And it's good competition, but it is competition. So we were always trying to be number one guy from the get-go, even if we get beers afterwards.
And I'm curious to know. And so, Jay Christian brought up Kevin Knight, as you know. I don't know anybody else. I think his drop kick goes higher than maybe even Okada's. I
Yep,
don't know
I'd
if
say
any.
so.
It visually looks like it does. I'm curious to know. Will you throw Yuya Uemura as high as Kevin Knight's drop kick?
Ooh, you know what? We got to get a triple threat match in there next blood sport, three of us, and actually measure it. That'd be cool. But yeah, absolutely. He's going to be higher. If Jet was jumping as high as he could, I would throw Yuya over Jet. Then Mr. Perfect run around Jet and catch Yuya and then body slam him.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
Like
my
when he
God.
threw the football to himself.
Yes,
I
yes.
mean, if y'all were to have a multi-man match on a Bloodsport card, it would definitely be innovative, especially
Yeah.
considering no pinfalls, no jumping off the top rope, none of that shit.
That would be pretty crazy. I wonder how that would work out. Hey,
I don't even,
consent.
I don't even know how, like, well, first, no, there'd be even no jumping off the top rope. There's no rope to jump off of. It's just
Well, if
like,
you get up on the post, there's nothing saying you can't jump off the post. It's just hard to get up there without the ropes, technically.
oh, I feel like that's a lot more harder, a lot more dangerous. Because if you fall, oh, those ropes aren't, you can't grab onto those ropes. You're
Nope.
falling straight down and bonk.
High risk, high reward, as they always say.
I mean, come to think of it, and I think there is a reference to this, but there's this clip from the Ganryu-jima event that Filthy Tom Lawlor was main eventing with Shibata on, where Marcos Lello Arroyo, like, just simply tossed somebody off the damn mat into, like, no, like, onto the floor, which was supposed to be, like, moat fighting.
I remember seeing that clip. That was pretty wild. Yeah. That was
Yeah,
sick.
I think that's probably Mark Raimondi's biggest clip so far this year, but still, though, you would probably have to think that would probably be the scenario for a triple threat match between you, Kevin Knight, and Yuya Uemura at a Bloodsport show.
Yeah, I'd have to throw those motherfuckers pretty early on, get it over with. Send some fans home happy with some souvenirs. Little girl catches Yuya. Keeps him in the
Yeah,
closet. Yeah,
of course.
yeah.
But still, though, we wouldn't want that to happen.
Well, you know, because they probably go right into the audience, because the audience is pretty darn close to the ring, at least from the, well, I remember from the other Ukrainian cultural Bloodsport 7
Yeah, so they
show.
better
So,
move. Be careful. If I got a guy over my head, you know
oh
it's
no, but
coming.
also
Get out of the way.
Bloodsport don't have no young lions to tell people to move out of the way in case somebody comes flying. So they
They're
those people in the first two rows are quite
in
they
a
would quite
splash
out.
zone.
Yeah,
Yeah. You
they'll
better
be
be
the ones
ready.
splashed. They'll be
We'll
the
have to
ones
give them
splashed.
like the in-flight emergency exit row, a little orientation, just in case it happens to them. Yeah. We'll get somebody on that.
So 2023 as well. What do you have any wrestling, pro wrestling goals? You know, it's earlier
Yeah,
still.
not get injured and miss more wrestling. That would be great. That's happened to me probably once a year, which sucks. But hey, man, 2023, let's do it. Knock on wood. But yeah, I just want to do more of what I have been doing at a better capacity. Just focus on myself, focus on getting better, and then just keep grinding, man. Just do as much as I can. So again, if I'm not in Japan, I'm around. Book me.
In case, you know, I know that a All Elite promotion will be coming around in April to the New York City area. Is that something you'd ever be interested in? Actually, not New York City, Long Island, before, you know, the people get pissed off.
Hey,
So,
it's
is that something? Would that ever want? Have you? Is All Elite something in it you would be interested in wrestling for as a
We've
promotion?
done a couple of shows with AEW. LA Dojo went over and did
Oh,
a few matches on
yes.
AEW Dark. We wrestled the pre-show of the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. So we've done AEW a couple times. So if they're in the area and if they need another person from Long Island for some reason, then yeah, I'm available.
I
But they have
forgot
a
that.
lot of people from Long Island already, so it might be illegal to hire even more than they do. They're at the limit.
Come to think of it, you mentioned the Forbidden Door buy-in match, the I think 8 or 10 man tag. It was you guys versus I think the Acclaimed and the Gun Club.
That's right.
I mean, even though the Acclaimed pretty much buried you guys in the opening rep, how did it feel to actually compete on a show like that?
It was really cool. I mean, it was a big sold out arena. You know, there are tons of people there, a big pay-per-view. It's always a fantastic atmosphere. And doing it, you know, with the people that my friends, the people I train and live with, it was super fun, super easy. Went in there feeling like $1 million. I had my new suit on, looked great. Went out for the match, got to throw a billy gun over my head. Love to do it again next time. So I'll be around.
I mean, hopefully so. I mean, it's not every day you get to say, hey, I wrestled on one of the biggest shows in my promotion's history and another promotion's history, and I got to do it at the house that Jordan built.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. I totally forgot. It was the, we had the buy-in, and then you had the match. I think it was against the, was it the night, not the Nightmare Family, was it? It was it no.
The
Who was it?
buy-in was Acclaimed and Gunpla.
Acclaim,
Well,
but for
and
Dark.
oh, for Dark, it was the Factory. Yep, Nightmare
The
Factory.
Factory, yes, that was it. Nightmare Factory people. Okay, I remember that. Oh, okay. But now that you are the android, Alice Coughlin, what, I mean, would you, is, would it, instead of, just regular Alice Coughlin, is all, would you think a place like All Elite Wrestling could benefit from having the android Alice Coughlin, especially with the
I
roster that
agree.
they have now,
If they
and...
want to bring in somebody else every now and then when I'm not in Japan to kick their people's ass on, I got no qualms about that. I know they're doing the new Ring of Honor brand that we have a close working relationship there. I know Clark just went out, wrestled Wheeler Yuta, who also happened to challenge Shibata-san coming up at the end of this month for WrestleMania weekend. And so there are definitely more opportunities there. So that would be a very cool thing. I would say that would be a cool next step for me.
One of the big questions I also want to ask you as well, Great Muta, Keiji Muto, has retirement shows this year. I'm curious to know, were you ever watching Muta as a kid, or
He was a big
learning wrestling?
inspiration for kind of what I'm doing now because it just the grandeur of it, of his entrance, the big elaborate costume, just the aura around him, just how he is, the great Muta. It's just it was a big inspiration for me, and something that I'm trying to in a way emulate or at least take in my own stride. But of course, he's a legend. Who doesn't know him? Even just the entrance where the guy comes out with a genie lamp and smashes it, and he comes up, and Tajiri's like, "Oh, holy shit! Oh man, legendary stuff." But it's just about the aura. That's pro wrestling to me. And people going in there wrestling, there are a whole bunch of shit going on. But like, setting the tone right from the get-go, as soon as you leave the curtain, and all eyes are on you, and people are like, "Holy shit, what's this guy gonna do?" That's pro wrestling. So he was a big inspiration for me, and obviously a lot of other people. So thank you very much for everything you've done, and happy retirement.
So actually, I want to also ask about Android. So when you're thinking of, because I remember, I think the last time we talked, you had mentioned something about, you had something in mind that you're going to be that you that the I think it may have been the Android persona, I think. I could be wrong though.
If it was, I think it was beforehand, the timing, because we spoke before last year's Bloodsport, which was April, and I don't think I did the actual Android thing until slightly later. So it was probably right before I actually did it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So I don't know if you had it in mind at the time, or you still were
Oh, I was working
thinking.
on that. I worked on that for a long time before I debuted it. That costume took fucking forever and was expensive. So that one was, I had that one in mind for sure.
So why did you choose the Android moniker? Was it, is there something? I know you had an injury. Is that, and I wonder, did that have something? Because androids kind of like, they don't, even when they're injured or they, you break an android's arm off, they usually still keep coming. Is that kind of the inspiration, or was, or that's my, that's why I was thinking, or was there
It's
something
it,
else?
there are a lot of reasons actually. Thank you for asking. That's definitely a part of it. Like, the Terminator walking at you and you shoot at him and he barely moves. The whole Jason Voorhees horror vibe, that kind of thing. But there are tons of reasons. Like going back to the original LA Dojo class, there are three people, and Carl graduated, and then Clark graduated, and I did. Carl was the alpha wolf. Clark was the wild rhino. They were the adjective animal, and they kind of built this pattern, this expectation. And some people were like, "Oh, what's Alice going to be? What kind of animal is he going to be?" And I was like, "Motherfuckers, I trained for 4 years. I moved over here. I went through all this shit. I drove Shibata everywhere for 4 years. I get to pick my own gimmick. You don't get to be like, 'Oh, what kind of animal are you?' I if you want to do it, you go through the shit." I went through it. It's my idea. So I wanted to do something that wasn't an animal, first of all. And then I'd always thought, my thing is I'm strong. I deadlift. I throw people around. I keep coming. I'm stronger than I look, and I look pretty strong to begin with. And basically the whole idea behind that was I was built in the, you know, in the LA dojo. That's really where I found myself. And that's how I found my real strength. And, you know, I wasn't programmed for anything besides kicking ass. And no matter what you throw at me, I'll come back at you. You're going to have to crush me in a Irish Charles press to make sure I stay down. So that's really the whole idea behind it. That I was built to kick ass, and I'm going to throw you around and look jacked doing it.
I didn't realize yet. Alpha Wolf and Wild Rhino. You know what's a good thing? It's a good thing you didn't think of, what about the cocaine bear, Alex Coughlin?
Yeah, that would have been, honestly, that would have been pretty cool in hindsight. But I don't know how the censors and the sponsors would have liked that.
or the power slapper, Alex Coughlin.
Yeah, I just start acting Russian and then grow a big old beard. Smack people in the ear.
Oh, Lord. But you know what? The reason why I mentioned that, I'm pretty sure Andrew has his reasons for mentioning Cocaine Bear. But the reason why I mentioned Power Slap is because you got people nowadays, you know, getting their damn draws in a wad, basically talking about how this sport is, you know, the new thing, but also it's basically a bastardization of combat sports, especially of pro wrestling these days, because, you know, back in the day, pro wrestling was all about pro wrestling, MMA, boxing. It was all about who wants to be the strongest. But when you see this bullshit like Power Slap being all up in the public conscience and getting all this attention, I mean, how do you, as an actual combatant who used more than just his hands, you know, how do you feel about that?
I mean, in some regards, it's like, it's a free country. People can do whatever they want. They're not bothering me. Then if you guys want to slap each other in the face, that's cool. It's just that there's part of me that doesn't feel right. That there's, I don't like the fact that there's people willing, like people might think that they can have a career in getting slapped in the face and slapping people in the face. And there are a lot of jobs, obviously, that hurt you. Like, I'm a pro wrestler. Obviously, injuries are a huge part of what we do. Any sport, football, MMA, soccer, baseball, people get hurt all the time. But slapping is literally slapping each other in the face as hard as you can. Literally, that's just, you know, blunt force trauma to the head. And exclusively, like, that's not the, you know, I don't know, like, who am I to judge, again, as a pro wrestler, but that just doesn't sit right with me. Just focusing on hitting each other in the face. I mean, mix it up. If you want to do chop offs, like you hit people in the chest and see who quits, that'd be sick. And, you know, you're just blooding up people's chest. The visual would be cool because they go all red and bloody and shit. But you're smacking people in the face. They get knocked out. And half the time, you see the people wind up and get smacked with a good one. The spotters suck. They have to have like a gurney system to where the people can't fall over, because they always just limp over to the side that the spotters aren't on and smack their heads on the floor anyway. So there's no safe way that they're doing it. Yeah, I mean, there's just no good that can come out of it. Especially, you know, people are dealing with the long-term effects of the NFL and how many regulations and rule changes and how MMA and the rules have evolved throughout the years with what they ban and what they can and can't do. How, you know, if people get brain damage, what they will, obviously, inevitably, from power slapping, how can they regulate it to make it safer? There's nothing they can do. They just have to stop doing it, because people are just going to, you know, get hurt and get CTE and cause tons of problems.
I mean, it's understandable, because you're talking about, you know, taking shots to the chest. I mean, obviously that's cause for chest palpitations, but it's much worse to get a full-blown concussion and, you know, just start rolling back like a damn armadillo because you took a huge slap to the dome.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people get penalized. They go, oh, you know, you actually slapped the guy in the ear. You slapped him in the eye, which is obviously also very, very dangerous, too. Lose your hearing and, you know, break somebody's jaw. There's no good that can come of it. Nothing.
Fuck up your eyesight.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
And let's be honest. If there was, like, a chopping competition, I think there'll only be one winner, that'd be now Michimaru Fuji, because
Ooh, I'd love to get in that competition with him. I've been working on my chops. I got some pretty nasty ones.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I'm confident.
It's either him or Satoshi Kojima.
Get Kojima, get Walter, get Kobashi, get everybody. I want to see how I do against them. I'd be the dark horse in that competition.
Well, any chance we'll see some? We might see some of these chops on March 30th.
If there's any way, if Yuya gives me the opening, well, I'm gonna chop the shit out of him. I'll get him to open up. We got this.
But if you give it to him, he might try to give it even harder back to you. So yeah, that's the worry.
That's the thing, yeah, because he does hit hard too. So we'll see.
And he's no longer Young Lion. Look at that. He's got a goatee now. You know, he's got.
The opposite side of the mounts of the facial hair.
Is that a goatee? I think is that officially a goatee or?
I don't know what you'd call that. That might just be a little. I think it goes up. I think it's a full chin strap.
I want to ask as well. I know that you did some training, I think, with Josh Barnett at his dojo in California. What was that like, just like rolling with Josh Barnett and that crew?
Everybody there with the CMMA fight team, I'm very thankful for every time they let me come in and roll with them and teach me everything that they did, from the coaches, from Chad to everybody there, all the people training. They're very cool, very gracious, always willing to help me out, and that was super cool. So I'm always very thankful for everything that they've done, and every time I do go back in there. But, you know, they're pros. You know, they go in there to work and work hard. They always do. And it's very cool being in that environment because it really makes me step up, and I feel actual noticeable growth every time I'm in there. Because everybody there is just so hungry and they're so experienced and they're so good that I always learn a lot every time that I'm there. So I always try to, whenever I have the time, whenever I'm out there, to go there and train with either Josh himself or everybody there at CMMA.
Now, I don't know if you ever did before that, before you went to the dojo, if you did any sort of wrestling training or anything, combat sports training before that. But what's interesting in Japan is that, like you said, Yuya Uemura, I think he probably did judo like every other Japanese person does in high school.
He wrestled in school. He was collegiate wrestler.
Wrestler. Mm-hmm. But he most likely did judo when he was in high school, middle school.
Probably, because it's in their fucking gym class curriculum. A lot of self-defense stuff like that. And a lot of people stick with it a little bit longer.
What do you think about that? Well, I want to get your thoughts as somebody who grew up in America, New York, Long Island. You know, that sports curriculum is not so much emphasized here anymore. And I would say anymore, definitely not as much as it used to be, perhaps, versus Japan. And when does it seem like sometimes the Japanese dojo boys, even though they're still young lions, they're still more advanced in some ways in the combat arts than the ones out of the LA dojo?
So I would say yes and no, some of them, but just because they have the baseline of it being in their curriculum. Clark wrestled in high school and college. GKC did MMA. Carl did some wrestling too. It's basically like 50-50 between us in America. And, you know, just taking a little bit of wrestling in high school and then going to the Japanese dojo, you know, it doesn't make you a hot shot either. But everything that we learned, especially the years being there with, you know, Shibata-san, he didn't just teach us wrestling. He taught us a lot that he knew from MMA. And we would drill. We would drill. We would shoot. We would work. We'd do all this stuff. We would. It'd be like an actual, you know, wrestling practice, you know, 5-6 days a week. So I didn't feel like I was lacking behind anybody in Japan or America by the time we were, I guess, trained good enough under his eyes.
Because it seems like whenever a new Japan young lion comes in, their ears are already destroyed by cauliflower ear. They look like they've already been through the works, and they could be like 19, 20, 21.
Yeah, I had to get this ear drained three times.
Oh, there we are. Okay.
Yeah, that's, you know, let me show you the good one for reference.
Yikes.
Bad one.
How does it feel to have the mark of the mark of the cauliflower?
Yeah, it's cool because every now and then people be like, "Oh, nice, you're a wrestler," and I'd be like, "Yeah," just out of
Huh.
nowhere, because I can tell. Thankfully, it was it. I mean, when I first I had to get it trained 3 times, but thankfully, it didn't get bad enough to where I can't put earbuds in. But I had to get the. They did a bad job aspirating it the first 2 times. I wound up getting stitches the third time because I didn't want to have a super fucked up ear. But I'm happy I got the one ear and the
We
other
have
one's okay.
someone at my gym who has like the full Mickey Mouse ears, like
Oh,
worse
hell
than
yeah.
Tom Wall, like worse than Tom Waller's. I'm talking
Yeah.
like these, they probably were small to begin with, but now like it's growing. The top is growing almost outward. So and it's in the small part. And this is a small part. Nothing like it looks normal here, but the top is just like. It looks like a baby's growing out. It looks like a xenomorph's growing out of it.
Nice.
Yeek. I
So
mean,
you got
come to think
lucky,
of it, he's been through
Alex.
some shit in the training room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come to think of it, y'all talking about cauliflower ears. I'm surprised that neither one of y'all, you Andrew or you Alex, hadn't gotten that, alien life form that James Thompson had when he got it knocked out of him by the late Kimbo Slice back in 2009, I think.
Oh man, what happened there? Remind me.
Oh, nothing. Just basically, James the Colossus Thompson got knocked out so bad. I mean, he took a blow so bad from Kimbo Slice that his cauliflower ear damn near popped off his head.
Oh damn. Oh, was that like a clip with a shot and the blood just like popped out?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm? Oh shit! I remember seeing that. That was that fight. That was crazy. Yeah, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. Fuck, that was sucked. A whole
Yeah.
mess
Well,
everywhere too.
easy answer for why I haven't. The hair protects me, so that's why. Oh yeah,
Tactical
it
hair.
helps. Yeah, it would definitely help that you do have curly hair. I mean,
No, I just
if I
my
were to
hair.
go through that, I'd be fucked.
No, just like when my hair sweats, it like goes down, so then it just covers my ears, so I'm totally fine. So yeah, Alex, as we come to a close for this, I want this is gonna be your third Bloodsport outing. You've been successful in it. Defeating Royce Isaacs in your first match, your second match, excuse me, right?
Second match with Royce. This is my sixth Bloodsport in a
Six
row.
Bloodsport. Okay, I'm getting
And my
my.
third time wrestling you, yeah, I see where you got the numbers mixed up. But
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, okay, yes. Third
a mixed
time
bag of
is.
results in Bloodsport, but definitely excited for this one coming up.
Is the confidence level very high going into this?
100%. Like I said before, I wrestled Yuya twice before. This is our third time. I won both previous times, once submission, once pinfall. So I feel like I have his number, but it's not over till it's over. I know Yuya very well, but he also knows me. So I'm not going to take him lightly. But, it's going to be a
And
fight.
how do you see this fight being finished against him? Do you foresee a knockout, or do you foresee a submission in your favor?
Trying to think. Most of if I won at Bloodsport, it was because of a submission. If I lost, once I got knocked out, the other times were all submissions. So I'd like to add a knockout to my list of victories. I don't think I've gotten a knockout yet. So that would be cool.
It's actually funny because at the beginning I said, oh, we haven't seen that much submission of you, but maybe I think I'm just having like, what is it called? Mandela effect, where I'm like, oh no, he doesn't submit people, but then like you've actually submitted people. So like, yeah, I think I'm just having like a Berenstain Bears, Berenstain Bears
Gives
moment.
you and the people at home an opportunity, an excuse to go back and watch some of my older stuff, my older Bloodsport matches. And yeah, I'm definitely a technical guy. I take pride in my technical work. So I relish the opportunity, like I said.
And I also want to give you an opportunity. And here's the thing, it does make sense to say this in English because I know that Yuya has been working on his English. But from what I've heard. So do you if you have any comments, statements you want to make towards your fellow young lion that you'll be facing up against Bloodsports 9? What was yours,
Yuya,
sir?
you say this is your last. No, I hope you're not serious. Your last in New Japan or your last period. because I like wrestling you. But if this is your last, I'm going to give you everything. And I hope you do the same. Gambate, ne? See you then.
He said it's his last?
Yeah, he tweeted. I don't know what he means exactly. He's a cryptic motherfucker sometimes. But he said, this will be my last. So, we'll see.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, so...
Yeah, that's kind of weird to hear. And I, for one, hope it's not going to be his last either, because I'm pretty sure we all want to see him compete more often. But if it's his last, I mean, I guess Aigato gozaimashita, thank you very much, doesn't do it justice for the career that he's had so far. But
and he's just getting started, too. But whatever his decision is, I'm behind him as a friend, and I respect it. But selfishly, I hope it's not.
Understood, but... You know, come to think of it, considering the fact that your match with Yuya Uemura is only one of, like, what, 7 or 8 matches, 9 matches on this Barnett card? I mean, what would be the one match that you would say, as a fan, on this card, aside from your match with Uemura, is the one match that you would definitely want to go out of your way to see?
There are a lot of people on this card coming up that I think are must-watches. I think Eric Hammer is fantastic, as is Bad Dude Tito. Tim Thatcher is back. But, you know, Ibushi and Mike Bailey, that's going to be, you know, it's Ibushi's first match back post-New Japan. I know it's a weird subject to breach, but that's very exciting. I'm happy for him, too. And it'll be cool to see him again and be on the same show as that, which is also a cool feather in the cap. So, there's no short list. I think they're all going to be must watches, but I'm personally very excited to see Ibushi versus Bailey.
Understood, understood. And Andrew, I know that you're not really all that skilled at closing out your own show without me, so I'm just going to go ahead and ask Alex 2 more questions. First of all, how can people contact you? And second of all, give us your best plug for Bloodsport 9 coming up on March 30th.
All right. People can find me on Twitter at AlexCodwin93. They can find me on Instagram at something something deadlift. Be easier if they're the same name, but sorry, I'm not changing it. Bloodsport 9, what can I say? Bloodsports 4 through 8 have been better because I've been a part of it. 9's going to be no different. Look at the resume. Go back and look at the legacy Bloodsport has. It's a special event. You're not going to see anything else like it anywhere else. You have to be there because you will be missing out if you don't. I guarantee it. Thank you very much.
I'll just say this quickly. I hope you, Bushi, do get to say hi. I hope he doesn't get lost on his way to the arena, though.
I'm sure they already have the handler set up to make sure he's got the chauffeur.
I hope he has the ankle bracelet on, just in case, you know, yeah. In case he does get lost, you know. They can let him know, because I don't know if that's his first time to California or I don't know. Listen, he could get lost in other places. He's liable to get lost in California and wind up in I don't know, Oakland or something.
Yeah, his backpack will have a little tag on it that says, "If lost, please call this number and we'll come find him." So it won't be too hard. Keep an eye on him.
Yeah, if lost, call Michael Nakazawa.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, though. Bloodsport, March 30th. Fight TV, The Collective. Don't miss it.
And by the way, that's Fight TV Plus. You have to get the subscription thing, apparently. Fight TV Plus. Yeah, you have to. It's their subscription service. So it's like ESPN Plus.
Yeah, but
UFC,
then again, Drew, the event is a standalone pay per view. You can get it for about, what, $15?
Oh, it is? Okay.
Or you can just basically get the collective, which cost about an arm and a leg. But still, though.
You got a lot of great wrestling over those few days. You can piece that out and watch it later. Sounds like a good deal.
And quickly as well, what matches do you have coming up as well, Alex?
Coming up this weekend, I'm wrestling March 11th for Ironheart. On March 26th, I am wrestling in Massachusetts for Beyond Wrestling. And the 30th, I'm wrestling Bloodsport 9, the Ukrainian Culture Center. And after that, New Japan has a couple shows. The 15th of April in Washington, D.C. And then the next night, the 16th of April, will be in Philadelphia which I always love wrestling there at 2300 Arena, ECW Arena, hosting up the hall where all my homies and friends show up. So very excited about those two shows too. So yeah, look them up. Give them a click.
And I might be at that show.
Maybe. The Philly show?
Yes, the Philly show.
Ooh,
no way am I would ever go to Washington, D.C. Philly is not that bad to get to.
Hell yeah. Usually. Philly, yeah. It's not too bad. For me, it's like 3-4 hours. Not terrible. I'm back on Long Island, baby.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Alex, we're really looking forward to this match. Three times a charm. 3-0, hopefully.
I get that clean record. Hell yeah.
And yeah, definitely looking forward to what you do with New Japan 2023, what you do in pro wrestling as well. So yeah, try to stay injury free. Easier said than done. It's wrestling.
Yep.
You know, so, but yeah, we're really looking forward to this and the rest of Bloodsport, GCW Collective, and all that, and what you're gonna be doing in the future. So yeah, man, congratulations on this. And yeah, kick some ass.
Absolutely. Thank you guys very much.
Deadlift you. Deadlift some people.
Oh, of course. That goes without saying. That's my shit, baby. I got to get that in.